or tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Friday afternoon service of July the 7th, 1989. Gene Moody is a teacher for the afternoon.
Well, Brother Gene, we'll hear what the Lord's given for us this afternoon.
Well, praise God. It's good to be with you and speaking to you again. I've really been impressed with the teaching of this camp. We really had some good teaching. And I don't think the ministers have held back either. I think they really let go and let God. That blesses me. The title of my message today is Hate, Vengeance, Envy, and Strife. Naturally, this is the opposite of love and peace. The envy and strife portion of my lesson, the scriptures and a list of demons I got from Glenn and Irma, I took it out of their magazine. They probably remember that lesson on envy and strife. It also got me in trouble. Earlene and I in trouble with their pastor. One of the demons, or several of the demons in there, he didn't like their names. So he called us on the carpet. And he basically wanted us to do deliverance his way. He wanted to tell us how to conduct our ministry. So we fasted and prayed for about a week and sought the Lord and decided we had to do it God's way rather than His way. So we came to a parting of the ways. We left the church early with a school teacher then. So we left the church, and she left her job as being a school teacher. And since that time, the Lord has blessed us as we have gone on with Him. So that list of demons that Irma and Glenn came up with got us in trouble. But God has blessed us because we took a stand for Him. Anytime you take a stand for God and you're willing to take the consequences, He'll always bless you. Now, we've got a lot of scripture, and I'm going to go through it quickly, and most of it's in order. So get your Bibles and turn to Exodus 20, verse 5. The first topic I'm going to take up is hate, which is the opposite of love. Exodus 20, verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. It's talking about the worship of gods and images. Deuteronomy 12:31. Deuteronomy 12:31. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. Talking about sacrifice of children. We rebuke that power failure in Jesus' name. We bind your power, Satan. We rebuke you in Jesus' name. We command every evil spirit to take his hands off our power supply in Jesus' name. Okay, chapter 16, verse 22. Chapter 16, verse 22. Neither shalt thou set up any image which the Lord thy God hateth. It's talking about worship of images. When I say the word, the chapter of Deuteronomy, I always think of Ruth. Ruth corrects me. I used to say Deuteronomy, like hominy. So I try to say it right. Okay, Job 34:17. Job chapter 34, verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. It's talking about God hates rightfully. Now let's got a bunch of verses in Psalms. Psalms 5:5. Wait a minute, I was in the wrong chapter. Let me go back to Job. I was in Psalms. Okay, Job 34:17. Let's get it right here. Okay, Job 34:17. Shall even he that hateth right govern, and wilt thou condemn him that is most just? God hates rightfully. Now a bunch of verses in Psalms. Psalms 5, 5. Psalms chapter 5, verse 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Talking about proud sinners. 11, 5. Chapter 11, verse 5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. God hates violence. Chapter 45, verse 7. Chapter 45, verse 7. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. God hates wrong. Chapter 97, 10. Chapter 97, 10. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. God hates evil. 101, 3. Chapter 101, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I'm in the wrong one. 101, 3. I'm going too fast here. Got a lot of scripture I want to get through. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Talking about deals. 105, 25. 105, 25. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He hated Israel. 119, 104. 119, 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. God hates false teaching. Okay, verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. He hates the undecided. 128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. He hates every false way. 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. He hates falsehood. Okay, let's look at 139, 21 and 22. Chapter 139. Verses 21 and 22. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. All right? Okay, this is chapter 139, verses 21 and 22. Okay. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am I not grieved with those who rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. It's talking about hating God's enemies. I looked this up in the concordance. It means to hate the enemy, to be utterly odious, grieved, to cut off, to test, loathe, self, hatred, and exceeding hate. Now let's go over into Proverbs. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. We heard this several times in the men's meeting. Bill used that several times. Okay, 6, 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Alright, these are seven things that God hates that are evil. Chapter 8, verse 13. Chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Talks about lies. Chapter 13, verse 5. Chapter 13, verse 5. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Okay, chapter 24, verse 9. Chapter 24, verse 9. The thought of foolishness is sin, and a scorner is an abomination to men. Talking about folly. Chapter 28, verse 16. Chapter 28, verse 16. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. Talk about dishonesty and bribes. Chapter 29, verse 24. Chapter 29, verse 24. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. He hates himself. Ecclesiastes 3:8. Ecclesiastes, or the preacher, chapter 3, verse 8. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. So there's a time for hating. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 14. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. He hated their pious meetings. Chapter 61, verse 8. Chapter 61, verse 8. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for a burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. He hates robbery and wrong. Jeremiah 44, 4. Jeremiah 44, verse 4. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. Talking about worshiping other gods. Hosea 9:15. Hosea 9:15. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their things, I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Talking about idolatry. Amos chapter 5, verse 15. Amos 5:15. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Talking about idols. Verse 21. I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Talking about hypocrisy. And let's look at chapter 6, verse 8. Chapter 6, verse 8. The Lord God hath sworn himself, saith the Lord God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob, and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. Talking about pride. Zechariah 8, 17. Zechariah 8, 17. These little books are hard to find. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 17. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. Talking about lying and harming others. Malachi 1, 3. Malachi chapter 1, verse 3. And I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. He rejected Esau. Chapter 2, verse 16. Chapter 2, verse 16. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. Talking about divorce and cruelty. Dealing treacherously with your wife. Matthew 10, 22. Matthew 10, 22. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. They will hate us for being Christians. Luke 14:22. Luke chapter 14, verse 22. No, 14:26, I'm sorry. Chapter 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Talking about hating your father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters in your own life. John 12, 25. John 12, 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Talking about despising our own life. Romans 9, 13. Romans chapter 9, verse 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. He chose not to bless Esau. Okay, Revelations 2, 6. Revelations chapter 2, verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And here it's talking about, and let's look, read verse 15 too. Chapter 2, verse 15. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Here he's talking about licentiousness and sexual sin, which means morally unrestrained, wanton, lascivious, voluptuous, dissolute, debauched, profligate, and unbridled. Now, what I've done, I'm taking you through the Bible on a study about hate. And I'm just letting the Word of God teach you. I don't have many comments. This is just reading the Word of God. I'm going to summarize it for you. All right, what does God hate? I want you to listen to this. God hates the worship of other gods or images, sacrifice sons and daughters to other gods. God hates rifling, idolatry, evil deeds, wrong, robbery, those loving violence, love those who hate evil, and those Egyptians that hated Israel. That came out of Psalm 105, 23 through 25. He hates haughtiness, lying, murdering, plotting evil, eagerness to do wrong, a false witness, and sowing discord among the brothers. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. He hates pious meetings. He hated Esau. He loved Jacob. He hates show and pretense. He hates hypocrisy. He hates pride and false glory. Those that worship their beautiful homes, plots to harm others, swearing lies, divorce, and cruel men. And those were taken from 25 scripture verses which we read. Now, what do we hate? Do we have a right to hate? What did the Bible say? We should hate low and vulgar things, crooked deals, false teaching, those undecided to obey God, every other way, lies and falsehood, God's enemies, evil, pride, arrogance, corruption, deceit, our own son if we don't discipline him, dishonesty, bribes. We hate himself if we're a thief. There's a time for hating. We hate idols. And if we have the wrong thoughts about our father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and our own life, out of Luke 14, 26, we have to have the right relationship there. We should hate our own life, basically. Licentious deeds, sexual sin, and idol feasts. And those were taken from 19 scriptural verses that we read. So God hates many things. And he makes it very clear. And we have a right to hate the things that God says to hate in the Bible. In fact, if you don't hate them, what are you going to do to them? You'll love them. You'll do them. Right? So you need to hate sin. You need to hate the things that God hates. I guess it really sounds strange to people. You know, sometimes I say, I hate Satan. I hate all sin and iniquity. I hate all demons. I hate everything that God hates. That sounds really strong, doesn't it? Maybe a little cruel. Well, I just read it to you in the Bible. Should you love Satan? Should you love demons? Should you love sin and iniquity and lawlessness? No. And you're not going to be dancing in heaven with Satan either. Okay, now let's look at the topic of vengeance. Okay, the opposite is let God repay your enemies. Erling was an expert on retaliation. She told you about that a number of times. So let's look at the scripture that has to do with vengeance. All right, let's go through the Bible again. Exodus 23, 4 and 5. Exodus chapter 23, verse 4 and 5. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou shalt see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and thou wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. We are to help our enemy's oxes when they're in trouble. Leviticus 19, 17 and 18. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 17 and 18. Only problem is contact lens. You've got to lift your head up so to see the chapter at the top of the page. Okay, chapter 19, verses 17 and 18. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. We're not to hate. rebuke, sin, avenge, grudge, but to love. Deuteronomy 32, 35. Deuteronomy 32, 35. This is a good one. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Thy foot shall slide, their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. To God belongs vengeance and recompense. Think God is capable of handling it? Or do you think you need to help God? Okay, Proverbs 20, 22. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. So we have no right to any recompense. I just read chapter 11. This is a verse that my son was saved on. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his word be pure and whether it be right. Even an adult is known by his doings, whether his work or her work be pure and whether it be right. You're known by your vengeance. If you freely take vengeance, you better question yourself. Okay, chapter 24, 28, and 29. Okay, the one I read to you that my son was saved on is chapter 20, verse 11. Chapter 20, verse 11. We put that on his tombstone. Chapter 24, 28, and 29. Chapter 24, 28, and 29. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his word. So we're not to repay. There's no repaying. Chapter 25, 21, and 22. Chapter 25, 21, and 22. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. So feed your enemy. God will heap coals of fire on his head. A brother gave a testimony. He went to this man and he really berated him. And so he just stood there and he took it. And he didn't fight back or anything with words or actions. And it really shook the other person up. And it brought this other person around. And that was a testimony at this camp. I won't call any names. But it's really a beautiful testimony. And the brother was really amazed that he could stand there and take that and not retaliate. Okay, Matthew 5, 38 through 48. Matthew chapter 5, 38 through 48. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man shall sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So love your enemies. We're going to talk more about that one later. Mark 9:50. Mark chapter 9, verse 50. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. So God wants us to have peace one with another. Romans chapter 12, 17 through 21. Romans chapter 12, 17 through 21. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. In so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Vengeance is God's, and we do not... Okay, let's look at the next one, which is chapter 14, verses 14 through 19. 14 through 19. I know and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, thou walkest not thou charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. So we do not grieve our brother over the food of idols. 1 Thessalonians 5:14-18. 1 Thessalonians 5:14-18. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We do not render evil for evil. Hebrews 10:26-31. Hebrews 10:26-31. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Vengeance is God's. Are your ears beginning to tingle? To get a little red? These verses hit home. Okay, let's look at chapter 12:14-17. Chapter 12:14-17. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Talking about the root of bitterness. 1 Peter 3:8-9. 1 Peter 3:8-9. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing. But contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Do not render evil or railing. Okay, those are the scriptures that I have for vengeance. In Romans 21:17-21 says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Repeat that after me. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Chapter 12:17-21. Do you believe that?
Amen.
You think God is capable of handling it? Absolutely. Now, what are Christians supposed to do? We're to bring back or help the enemy's ox, love thy neighbor as thyself. Think about that. You should love your neighbor as yourself. Boy, it really gets me. I know I'm not loving my neighbor as myself. I mean, it staggers me. Do you think you have reached a stage of perfection yet? Well, are you love and your neighbor as yourself? That's a good way to check yourself out. Feed your enemy, resist not evil, turn the other cheek, give your cloak also, go 2 miles, lend, give to him that asketh, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good, pray for them, be perfect, have peace, overcome evil, provide honest things, give place to wrath, be a blessing, pitiful, courteous, and compassionate. Are you pitiful, courteous, and compassionate? All right, what are we not to do? Well, we're not to forbear helping our enemy, hate, rebuke, sin upon the neighbor, avenge, bear a grudge, recompense evil, be a false witness, deceive, do so to him, render evil accordingly, grieve the brother at the meat of idols, obtain vengeance, be bitter, and render railing for railing. What does vengeance mean? It means punishment, to retaliate, avenge, revenge, carrying justice out, punisher, justice, and judgment. Who does justice and judgment belong to? Right, God. No matter what they've done to us. Repay means to recompense, to render, pay, command, and grant. So I'm going to recompense you. I'm going to pay you back for what you did for him. It doesn't mean I'm going to give you money. It means I'm going to retaliate against you. Have you done these things? I dare say all of us have. Don't let it be a habit with you. I never forget the Lord worked on early. Now, the first church that we got kicked out of, actually we left. We were in this traditional Southern Baptist church, and the Lord told us to stand and just stand and take it. We did. I was a deacon in a church. We stood and took it for about, as we were coming into the full gospel. And they didn't believe in speaking in tongues. And the Lord told us to take it. So we just stood there and took it. Now, normally I would have run. I used to be a runner. I'd run for things I didn't like. But the Lord told us to take it. So about 3 months, we just stood and took the abuse. And then one Sunday, the Lord told us that we could leave. And as we went out the door, the pastor's wife attacked us. So I kid and say, well, that was the first church we got kicked out of. Actually, we left on our own. But they wanted us to leave. Now, let's look at envy and strife. Now, we can thank Glenn and Irma for this. The opposite is peace and not coveting. Don't envy, have peace, don't have strife, and don't covet. Okay, let's look at the list of scriptures here for envy. And let's start and go through the Bible. Numbers chapter 12, 1 through 10. Numbers chapter 12. 1 through 10. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now maybe he shouldn't have married this Ethiopian woman. But irregardless, here's what happened. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard him. Now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam, come out, ye three, from the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they came both forth. And he said, hear my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then, were ye not afraid to speak unto my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Okay, that's what can happen for envy and strife. God doesn't normally strike people with leprosy today, I don't think. But she might get struck with other things. So you have to be careful about that envy and strife. Okay, Job chapter 5, verse 2. Job chapter 5, verse 2. For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. Proverbs 14, 30. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Like you who have sicknesses, infirmities, and diseases. Think about that. Chapter 23, verse 17. Chapter 23, verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Chapter 27, verse 4. Chapter 27, verse 4. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Ecclesiastes 9, 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 6. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion of ever in anything that is done under the sun. Isaiah 11, 13. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 13. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. Chapter 26, verse 11. Chapter 26, verse 11. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Ezekiel 35, 11 through 15. Ezekiel 35, 11 through 15. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will even do according to thine anger, and according to thine envy, which thou hast used out of thy hatred against them. I will make myself known among them when I have judged thee. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, and that I have heard all thy blasphemies which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate, they are given to us to consume. Thus with your mouth you have boasted against me, and have multiplied your words against me. I have heard them. Thus saith the Lord God, when the whole earth rejoiceth, I will make thee desolate. As thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all Idumea, even all of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Matthew 27, 18. Matthew 27, verse 18. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Mark 15, 10. Mark chapter 15, verse 10. For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. Acts 7, 9. Acts chapter 7, verse 9. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. Chapter 13, verse 45. Chapter 13, verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Chapter 17, verse 5. Chapter 17, verse 5. But the Jews which believeth not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered the company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Romans 1, 29. Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. Chapter 13, verse 13. Chapter 13, verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. 1 Corinthians 3:3. 1 Corinthians 3:3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Chapter 11, 30. Chapter 11, verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. 2 Corinthians 12:20. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you as such as I would, and then I shall be found among you unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envies, wrath, strife, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumults. Galatians 5, 21 and 26. Galatians 5, 21 and 26. Okay, verse 21. Talking about the fruits of the flesh. Envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, out of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's pretty strong, isn't it? Envies may keep you out of the kingdom of God. Wow. Okay, verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I don't envy your Christian brothers and sisters. Those that may have more gifts than you do, or can preach better than you can, or whatever. Don't envy them. Praise God for them. Okay, 1 Timothy 6, 1 through 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort, lest any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of the words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, opposing, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Titus 3:3. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves are also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. James 3:14. James chapter 3, verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Chapter 4, verse 5. Chapter 4, verse 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Chapter 5, verse 9. Chapter 5, verse 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Who is the judge? God, the Lord. 1 Peter 2, 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Now, those are verses I had about envy. Now, let's look at verses about strife. Proverbs 10, 12. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sin. Chapter 15, verse 18. Chapter 15, verse 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. Good to be slow to anger. Chapter 16, verse 19. Chapter 16, verse 19. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Now, verse 28 in chapter 16. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisper separateth chief friends. Chapter 20, verse 3. Chapter 20, verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Every fool will be meddling. Are you a meddler? Okay. Chapter 22, verse 10. Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. I'm sorry, chapter 22, verse 10. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Chapter 26, verse 17. Chapter 26, verse 17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Verse 21. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Chapter 28, verse 15. As a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. Chapter 30, 33. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. Philippians 2, 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. 2 Timothy 2, 23 through 25. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and if they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him and his will. You want to be taken captive by Satan and his will? Okay, let's sort of summarize the envy and strife. Proverbs 14:30 said, envy is a rottenness or the disease of the bone. Do you think you can get a disease through envy and jealousy? I do. 1 Corinthians 3:3 says, are you not carnal and walk as men? Well, if you're a Christian who has envy and strife, you're carnal. You walk as men, not walking as God. 1 Corinthians 11:30 talks about weak and sickly diseases and many that sleep or die. Sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? I don't think you can afford to have envy and strife. Galatians 5, 19 through 26 says that you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You will have the fruit of the devil. So if you have envy and strife, you have the fruit of the devil. James 3, 14 through 16 says that envy is jealousy. So, should you envy and have jealousy? Not hardly. Not if you want to be healthy, wealthy, and wise and walk with the Lord. What is envy? Envy is described as a green-eyed monster, yellow-eyed, horned man, to be resentful, to try to possess, to demand, to covet, mistrust, to be skeptical, and jaundiced. Strife is described as contentious, quarrels, hostility, competition, rivalry, controversy, pairing off, acting hateful and spiteful. Have you had these feelings? Now, what I went through on hate, vengeance, envy, and strife, are any of you innocent? Raise your hand. I really don't expect to see anybody raise their hand. That includes me, too. We all have problems in these areas. That's why we deal with them. And we try to get ourselves to where we have fewer and fewer problems, and finally maybe no problems. Now, I want to try to do something. This is really not my normal nature to do, and God is really going to have to help me. But what I've seen here at this camp, I've seen a number of things. It's always real interesting to me to see how the camps go. Every camp is different. It seems like God has different themes for every camp. And I don't think he always has just one theme through a camp. But one of the things that has really impressed me is the theme of love. And normally, I tell you what you do wrong. I come down on you and tell you to repent and get right with God. I take you through prayers and I cast out your demons. That's usually my style. Well, here I'm going to try something differently. Now, I want Earlene to come up and stand with me. Now, she doesn't know what I'm going to have her do. In fact, I'm not even sure what I'm going to have her do. This is sort of one of those things that Glenn and Irma call spontaneous. The Lord's been dealing with me. I'm going to try this. It's not, you know me, I'm an engineer. I work everything out. I write everything down. I got it all. You know, I can just lay it out for you very clearly. I'm a teacher. Earlene is a teacher. We lay it out for you very clearly. This has not been done that way. And I've been seeking the Lord and trying to do this. Now, one thing that really bugs me, why is it that the husbands and the wives cannot show love for each other in church? Why is it? Why is it that it's so easy for the husband to go around and hug the other women, or the wife to go around and hug the other men, but they can't hug each other? How often do you see people in the church showing love? How often do you see the pastor showing love for his wife? I won't answer that question. I'll just leave it up in the air. Now, do you realize, men, that it's not sissy to show love for your wives? Do you realize that Jesus Christ was not a sissy? Do you realize that if you want to live a true Christian life, you have to be a real man? See, any fool can give in to the world. Any fool can run off with another woman or drink or smoke or whatever it is. Any fool can do it. It doesn't take any ability to do the things of the world. If you think it is, then I would classify you in that area. Now, what I'm going to try to do is minister love and break down barriers. I've seen this for a long time. I've seen that love is a weapon against the enemy. Demons cannot understand love. See, love is a foreign substance in the world of Satan and his army. They don't know what love is. All they know is they're trained to hate. They hate you, and they hate each other, and they hate God, and they hate Satan too. They just don't tell him because he beats up on them. Now, I really and truly think that love is the most powerful force of God. See, when I came in the full gospel, maybe because I'm an engineer, I was impressed with power. Power. Man, I love to see those miracles. I love to see things happen. People heal. The power of God flow. Well, I suspect I probably became overbalanced or unbalanced on the power side. Now, praise God. You see, we all have problems with love. All of us. Ever run anybody yet that didn't have problems with love, including me? When my son died, we were Christians. I was a deacon in the church. We were going to church, and we were active in the church after fashion. But when my son died, I really turned to the Lord. I started seeking God. I really didn't know where he was. I just started seeking him. And I thought heaven was somewhere way out in there, and heaven was in the by and by, and well, God was something I see. So I didn't have any personal relationship with God. I was just a churchgoer. And we really turned to the Lord, and we really started seeking God. And I tried to help my relatives. What did I do with my relatives? Well, I didn't use wisdom. And I turned them off, and they turned against us. And, you know, that hurts. It hurts when your relatives no longer want to have anything to do with you. It happened to me. It happened to Earlene. It happened in her family. It happened in my family. There's been some restoration, but even today, there are barriers, there's walls between me and Earlene and our loved ones, our blood relatives, brothers, sisters, and mothers. Now, our fathers are dead. I dare say many of you have suffered the same thing. As you became Christians, as your family turned against you, as you were hurt, as you made mistakes like I did in trying to witness to them, trying to get them saved. I'm really not sure that I can do everything God would have me to do, because I'm not sure that there isn't something there that's holding me back, like with my relationship with my loved ones. I'm really not sure. I look at another area. Praise God. I love my wife. Can y'all see the love? Can y'all see the love that flows between early and I? We don't make any secret of it. And we don't put on a show either. We just try to be natural. I think probably Earlene came up. Her mother was paranoid. Schizophrenic, paranoid. And Earlene had trouble with suspiciousness. And I think she's probably gotten rid of it or almost got rid of it. I think probably one of the things that's held me back is the fear that Earlene would think that I was not faithful to her if I let my love flow. I've never told her that. I've tried to help her through to overcome the damage that was done to her by her mother. Her mother did severe damage to her. It's taken us years of deliverance and healing to try to overcome it. And so I try to be careful. I try to be totally circumspect in all my actions. And I try to let Earlene see what I do. I keep no secrets from her. But I suspect that's probably held me back some. When we got into deliverance, we were severely persecuted. We used to be really loved. We got in deliverance, and I suspect we became hated. It's almost like having a city turn against you. I wonder what damage has been done to me through the persecution. Now, I've forgiven these people. As far as I know, I've forgiven them. I've done it repeatedly. I've forgiven them. I've released them from their sins. I've remitted their sins. I've asked God to bless them. But what damage has been done to me? Where am I not whole that I can do what God would have me to do? What is holding me back? I'm sure there are things that are holding me back. Fears. Fear of showing love. Gene, do you have a fear of showing love? Yes, I suspect I do. I cannot show you love in a total, unbridled fashion. I'm not able to. There's a certain reservation there. Okay, Gene, do you have a fear of being hurt? I suspect I probably do have some fears of being hurt as I openly show you my love. Maybe I even have a fear that Erlene won't submit to me if I totally show her my love and don't maintain some discipline there. I don't know. Maybe I fear that. Maybe I fear that I won't be able to, that Erlene won't respect me. I don't know. I suspect there's some reservation. Do I have a fear of others' opinions? Probably have some fears there. I'm not totally free. Erlene and I have been doing this 13 to 14 years, and I'll tell you freely that I'm not totally free. I think Erlene will tell you the same thing. Where is the hold back within us? What is holding you back, Gene? You know, I knew that the Lord would want me to minister on this. It was confirmed before I did it. I knew it would be difficult. This is not easy for me to do this. Now, I've come a long ways. I used to be an introverted person. I was happy with my things, my slide rule, my books. And I can design a building for you. This building, it's inanimate. It's an inanimate object. I don't have to worry about loving this building or this building loving me. I'm a good engineer. And see, I dealt with things. And then about 40 years old, God told me to start dealing with people. And I have started dealing with people since 40 years old. I actually began to get smart at 40 years old. Now I'm about 56. I'd like for, if you're sitting apart from your husband or wife, I'd like for the two of you to get together. Or mother and son. Or I'd like for the families to get together. If you're not together as a family, I'd like for you to get together. Possibly all the families are together. And I'm going to ask Irma this. Irma, is it all right for the people in the kitchen to come out for a while? Okay, while they're coming out, I'll continue with this lesson here. Matthew 5:44, we read it. The Bible says, love your enemies. It says, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Are you following that? See, I'm trying to be as open and honest with you as I can. I'm trying to tell you, I'm held back. I'm sure I'm not 100%. I'm not sure I'll ever be 100%. But as I look at Adam and Eve, I see the potential that God has given us. Where are you held back? What is holding you back? Well, I dare say the area we're dealing with. Okay, we can be held back by what we think about our relationship to God. Do you have a grudge against God? Has God done something to disappoint you and you're holding it against Him? How about others? How many people have hurt you and wronged you? And you can't forget. You can't forgive, you can't forget, and you can't release them. How many of them have hurt you deeply? How about your ancestors? All the sins of the ancestors have come down to destroy you. Do you hold that against your ancestors? How about your parents? So often, we have real problems with our parents. See, when you're young, your parents are God to you. It's very hard to cope with our parents not properly raising us. Only God can restore you. How about your husband, your wife? What has your husband, your wife done to you? How about you widows? Maybe your husband died and you've been scarred ever since he died for leaving you. Maybe he's divorced you or run off with another woman. Same way with the husbands. How about the children? Do you have a good relationship with your children? Do they honor you and obey you? You have a good relationship with your parents. These are serious things. Over and over again, I go through rejection, bitterness, and rebellion. And I know there's so much demonic activity in there, and it's because of love. It revolves around love. If we could just free ourselves, if we could freely love others, we could solve so many of these problems. I cast out demon after demon after demon in that area. I know the people are hurting. Sometimes I can see it on their faces. Now, before I take you in a prayer here and start coming against the demons, I didn't tell Earlene what I was going to do today. I did tell her that I was going to call upon her. And this sister here confirmed that I was going to call upon her. I hadn't told her, and I wasn't planning to tell her. Because I wanted this to be spontaneous. And I wanted her to have a chance to say whatever God told her to say without me prompting her. As I do sometimes. Okay, so I want Earlene to say what is on her mind freely. Even though it may hurt me or whatever. I want her to say freely what the Lord is showing her. And I believe the Lord is showing her some things. So, honey, you can just stay right here and talk in the microphone.
Thanks, God.
Yeah.
Well, you know, not being raised in a home with love, I didn't up until recently really understand an unconditional love. Most of the love that I was subjected to as a child was, if you do right, if you please me, then I'll love you. But if I didn't please, then I didn't feel loved. And part of that, I'm sure, is demons' attacks against me to get me not to feel loved. But the other part is, if you are relating to your children in a manner that they have to meet a standard before you love them, they react like I did. So I put a lot of stress on myself to be an achiever so that I would be well liked by my parents. And so I married Gene with this particular problem. And I tried to please him in every way that I could. And of course, he's an engineer and he knows more than I do. So sometimes he would say things to me that would intimidate me. And it never occurred to me to ask him what he meant. So I took up another demon, and it was competition. I made sure that he didn't get away with hurting me. And I built walls. I put bricks and walls around us. And I guess the best thing that ever happened to us was the fact that he was the one that God said, get Gene to pray deliverance for you. Because after he prayed for me in deliverance, you know, God will rat on you. God told him all the things that I really needed. And so now, you see, I don't keep any secrets from him. I'm not trying to hide anything from him. And I feel more one with him than I ever did. I think the past does reach out to you and try to control you. And you have to be aware of it. You might say it. You have to be vigilant. So what I tell Gene now is, you have been so good to me in the last few years, you couldn't get rid of me if you wanted to. But I would like for him to feel free to express himself however he wants to. Before I was delivered, I was very loud. And I was obstinate, and that's not a very nice lady to live with. Since I've been delivered, I have done a complete change. It's been hard work sometimes, but you can change, and God can make you more what he wants you to be. I think I'm now more what he wants me to be, but it was the love of God reaching down to me through my husband that helped me change. And I always recommend to women, even if you don't want to, and even if you have things you're ashamed of, go ahead and get your priest, your husband. He's the best one to help you. You see, the other people that help you, they're not tied up to you in love, but your husband is. And so he won't sell you if you're honest with him. And I have some of these things still left, you know. I don't care much about what other people think, but I still care an awful lot what he thinks. I've learned to live, to love unconditionally within the family. When I was taught to love conditionally, and I did that somewhat with my children, but not at all like I was treated. But God has, through love and through the fact that we're always there, he has restored us to our daughter. And that's been a blessing. But we don't understand all about love yet. But we are going to work on it, I think.
Amen. We are working on it. Just stay right here. Okay, I want to take you through a prayer with God's leadership. And then we're going to minister love to each other. Okay, would everybody stand? Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
I forgive my enemies.
I forgive my enemies.
I will love them with your help.
I will love them with your help.
I will love the unlovely.
I will love the unlovely.
As your love flows through me.
As your love flows through me.
I will bless them that curse me.
I will bless them that curse me.
And I break any curses on me in Jesus' name.
And I break any curses on me in Jesus' name.
And I ask God to break the curse.
And I ask God to break the curse.
Because I am willing to bless those.
Because I am willing to bless those.
That have cursed me.
That have cursed me.
I will do good to them that hate me.
I will do good to them that hate me.
I ask God to bless them.
I ask God to bless them.
With all spiritual blessings.
With all spiritual blessings.
And especially bring them into salvation.
And especially bring them into salvation.
I pray for those that despitefully use me.
I pray for those that despitefully use me.
And persecute me.
And persecute me.
And I ask that you teach them, Lord.
I ask that you teach them, Lord.
Almighty God.
Almighty God.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For having grudges against you.
For having grudges against you.
For blaming you.
For blaming you.
For the tragedies in my life.
For the tragedies in my life.
Forgive me, Holy Spirit.
Forgive me, Holy Spirit.
For thinking that you have left me.
For thinking that you have left me.
And forsaken me.
And forsaken me.
I forgive others.
I forgive others.
For their hurts and wrongs.
For the hurts and wrongs.
I release others.
I release all the others.
From their sins against us.
From their sins against me.
I forgive my ancestors.
I forgive my ancestors.
For their sins.
For their sins.
For cursing me.
For cursing me.
And my descendants.
And my descendants.
Lord, I especially forgive my parents.
Lord, I especially forgive my parents.
For not showing proper love.
For not showing proper love.
And not raising me properly.
For not raising me properly.
I forgive my husband.
I forgive my husband.
For having bitterness against me.
For having bitterness against me.
I forgive my wife.
I forgive my wife.
For not submitting to me.
For not submitting to me.
I forgive my children.
I forgive my children.
For not honoring them.
For not honoring me
and obeying me. I reject the demons of fear to show love.
Fear of being hurt.
Fear of others' opinions.
Fear of others' opinions.
And fear of rejection.
And fear of rejection.
For it's in Jesus' name I pray.
For it's in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to go to your mother, father, brother, sister, husband, wife, co-workers, those here at the camp. If any of you have anything that's happened between you and any of the other people here, I want you to go to them. Tell them you forgive them, that you love them. We're going to take a few minutes, and I want you just to minister to each other. Start off with your immediate family. Go to those that you think have something against you and who's hurt you. And just let the barriers break down. They've already broken down a lot through teaching, through prayer. So go and get with your family. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Well, I said it was very important to quickly tell the person who had offended you, I forgive you. And sometimes, you know, Like one time I remember Gene did something, and I don't remember what it was now, but I immediately forgave him, and he looked really surprised because he wasn't aware he had done anything. But, you know, to keep yourself clean, it's good to immediately do it.
Yes, have a reconciliation. Husband and wife, parents and children, loved ones, camp workers, have a reconciliation with each other. If I have, in my teaching through the years, have offended you where I should not have offended you, ask your forgiveness. Ask you to forgive me. Now, if it's the Word of God that cuts like a two-edged sword and it cuts you, then take it up with the Lord. But if I said anything or if I've done anything, I ask you to forgive me. Ask Glenn and Irma and Patty and Kevin to forgive me. If I've done anything that offended them, I don't apologize for the teaching of the Word of God. But I do apologize for my actions, where I've been wrong, where I've made a mistake in judgment. Forgive me. Release me from my mistakes and my sins. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You may be a little bit embarrassed to do this. Years ago, I could never have done this. God has really worked on me to be able to expose myself in public, to expose my inner being. It's so good. It's so good when you can do that. It just releases the things on the inside of you. Makes you feel so good. I cry a lot. But the cries of happiness, this crying of happiness, I cry for happiness. For the wonderful things that God has done for me and for Earlene, for my family, for Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. It's a blessing. Okay, I want you to be seated, and I'm going to call out some demons. Praise the Lord. Y'all ready to get rid of your demons?
Amen.
Okay, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against those spirits of rejection that have hurt us so deeply. Now come out of us in Jesus' name. Come out. I call out those spirits of rejection and fear of rejection and self-rejection, inability to give and receive love, prenatal rejection, conception in lust, rejection by the mother and the father, rejection by the husband or the wife, rejection by brothers and sisters. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, the whole family rejection. We've taken away your legal right. You will come out of us in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your love that's flowing here to drive out those demons, Father. Let us know that we're loved and we love each other. And we love you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord. Now come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. That rejection, those hurts, those deep hurts, I command those to go in Jesus' name. We bind your power and we drive you out of us in Jesus' name. Come out. I want all that rejection to go, all that deep-seated rejection and hurts and deep hurts, come out of us in Jesus' name. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind your power and drive you out of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out, all that rejection, hurts, and deep hurts. I stir you up and I drive you out. And I remind you, demons, that you're going to be cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm shall never die and the fire shall never be quenched. You'll be cast in there with your master Satan. You'll be in total loneliness and total despair. And you have very little time left. And there'll be no love in hell either. There'll be no love there. So we use love against you, demons. We are love. Almighty God loves us. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing love for your people. I thank you, Lord, for letting love flow in this camp. Now be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All this rejection and hurts and deep hurts, come out of the people right now in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Rejection by the mother and the father, by brothers and sisters, I command it to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out. I stir you up and I drive you out. You have no choice. You will go. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We exercise that power to set ourselves free. Signs will follow that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. Now come out.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.